We'll start off with you just introducing yourself and what your your connection to Jim.
Okay.
So, whenever you're ready.
I'm Ron Moody, and I've been playing music in this town for decades. And most recently, Jim Wark played guitar with our band, Ron Moody and the Centaurs. And I'm here to talk about our good buddy, Jim.
When did you first meet him?
I probably knew Jim a lot less time than some of the other folks he played with. Jim, about 5 years. We were looking for a guitar player about 5 years ago. And Mike Moore, our bassist, had worked with Jim in different bands, mm-hmm. Little Ronnie and the Blue Beats in different bands, and Billy Ray Hadley. And he said, "I know a great guitar player." And he wasn't kidding. Jim was the guy.
Well, before we talk about Jim as a person, let's talk about him as a musician. I was always struck by just how knowledgeable he was and how he was able to play so many different kinds of music.
That was what struck me as well. Jim was versatile in the different styles. He could play jazz. He could play, you know, he could shred like, you know, heavy metal player if he wanted, but he played rock. And we're basically a rhythm and blues soul band, mm-hmm. and he fit in with us perfectly, and he could play rockabilly. I'm a huge Elvis fan, and when I first met Jim, I was certainly impressed by his talent, but I said, "Jim, as an Elvis fan, can you play any Scotty Moorlick?" Scotty was Elvis's guitarist, and he starts playing all these incredible licks, and I said, "Well, there's my guy right there."
Yeah.
So we were tickled to have
him. And not many people can do that because they tend to want to overplay, but Scotty's deal was that he was underplaying the whole
time. And Jim, one of the things I love as with a soul band, you don't have to be out there just playing constantly. It's what you don't play. Mm-hmm. It's not always what you play. It's what you don't play. It's, you know, he was very tasteful. He knew when to play, when not to play, and when to put in just the right lick.
Yeah. People that we've been talking with always mention Jim's ability to collaborate, how he was able to work with many different kinds of people to achieve a common goal. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. Well, of course, as I said, from a musician standpoint, with our band, he fit right in with our genre, whether you want to call it beach or soul or whatever. And then he'd go play with the, was it the Sugar Beats?
The Super Sugar Beats.
Yeah, which was like, all the bubblegum stuff. And he could play wherever he went. He seemed to be like a chameleon. He could fit into whatever genre the band, took on, and he could play that type of music. And he always added to whatever, whatever type of group he was in. Plus, he was just such an easygoing guy to get along with, funny, and we always had as good a times off the stage as on the stage.
Yeah, and I know that's not always the case.
Life. Trust me on that.
Speak to that sense of humor a little bit, because that's another thing people always mention. It was a dry wit. It wasn't mean. It wasn't showy. But it was always there.
It was what I call it, sort of that musician humor. It's a little on the dark side. And Jim was very quick. And I tell the story, we were at the Tin Pan last year, and we were going to videotape the show. And Jim shows up, and he has on a white shirt and a tie. And, of course, I'd never seen him dressed up like that. And I said, "Jim," I was on stage. I said, "Here's our guitarist, Jim Wark," and blah, blah, blah. "And, Jim, you're looking mighty sharp tonight. What's with the outfit? Normally you have on a bowling shirt." You know, he'd have on these bowling shirts. And he goes, "Well, somebody's got to be eye candy." So that was Jim, in a nutshell.
Right, right. Did you know, playing with him, did you know about the other sides of his life, that he had been a journalist?
To some degree, yeah. I knew he was, big in the folk festival, and I knew, he had told us what he had done in the past and the different ventures he had been in. And, of course, I knew he was here.
Yeah.
And he had one of the things I noticed when we had the little memorial get together, there were people from such diverse backgrounds.
Right, right. Any other special memories of Jim that I know there may be some you can't tell?
Yeah, we'll save those for another time. But no, just in the relatively short time I knew Jim, just what a wonderful person he was. And when I look for players, and I've had over 60 guys in my band since we started.
Right. Now, to just a little background, Ron Moody and the Centaurs, you guys have been around since the 60s.
Our first gig was December 26th, 1964.
Wow.
I was 2 years old when we played. No, but we've had a lot of guys. And one of the things I always look for, obviously, talent is mm-hmm. a big part. Mm-hmm. But the other part, and it means just as much to me, is what kind of citizen, what kind of person are they? Are they going to be easy to get along with? Are they going to be a prima donna?
Yeah.
You know, because I don't want the hottest guitar player or whatever musician that's difficult, thinks he's a superstar. Mm-hmm. We've all been down the track. We don't need that.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I loved about Jim. He was amazingly talented, but he was down to earth and funny, and he didn't think he was all that, but he was confident in his ability. And we would be on stage sometime, and you knew a guy was, you know, in the groove when you look around at your other guys and they've got a big smile and Jim's playing a ride. They dug it, and yeah. We knew he was great.
How do we fill the gap that he's leaving?
I don't know that you do. I don't know that you fill the gap. Certain people come into your life and they're so important in what you do. And again, I've had so many guitarists and they were all good in their own way, but Jim's probably able to cover more bases as a guitarist, anybody I know. I never could get him to sing. I understood he sang, but yeah. He was always shy about singing.
That may have been a good thing.
Well, I don't know. I never heard
it. You know, with Jim, you'd never know. It could have been.
Right. Yeah. And I did see him the Rock and Roll Jubilee, and I think he sang a little bit on that couple years ago when I was there, and that was really cool. So,
right.
And I knew that was important to Jim, so whenever that was coming up, even though it might have been our gig, I would always say, hey, don't forget Jim is in the Rock and Roll Jubilee, and that was a very cool event.
I know there's a lot of talk going around about how best to honor him. There's talk maybe of an award or some sort of special trail at the folk festival. Well, what do you think would be appropriate?
Well, I think as a long range, something that, you know, happens every year, it might be an award or something like that. But I know we're supposed to get together next Monday night at Mike Moore's house. I mentioned our bassist to talk about some sort of multi-band tribute to Jim, which I think would be very cool and very fitting. And again, that's the cool thing. All kinds of different genres. And he could have stepped into every one of those bands and taken on that persona.
Yeah. Yeah. That's special.
Very special guy, very nice guy, very funny guy, and I wish I'd known him longer, you know?
Yeah. Ron, thank you so much for coming.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.